The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
McKinnon has not scored yet this series. He does have an assist in three consecutive games. But in the game on Monday, we did not see him obviously score or have an assist. So he took four shots. Just need to see it go in the back of the net.
I think he's going to get his, and Makar maybe too. I think it's incredible how well they've done without their top line really producing, especially McKinnon and Makar. I just think it's a matter of time. So what do you got again for 6-3?
A puck line and the over.
What's the number? 6.5? Again? Is it always 6.5?
For this series. That's every typically game. A high number. 5.5 is usually like, you know, the standard fare. But scoring's up in the league. So you look at the Calgary puck, Calgary total, Avs total, you're seeing a little bit higher than normal.
It's been 1.5 and 6.5. The whole entire series.
I know.
Yep. So, all right, you guys have fun, man.
All right, Zach Bye. We appreciate it. Tyler, my man.
Hey, buddy.
Talk to me about continuation. You get some tears in your eyes.
It was good, man. It was fun. Well, I mean, you know, we're going to do sports today, and we do a sports show. But I'm not going to lie, it did feel a little bit heavy given the circumstances of everything going on. I felt insanely grateful today.
Oh, I bet.
There's no question about it. There was a little bit of there was a thing, right? And everybody felt it. Just feeling insanely grateful to be out there. So it was great. Did a little clap out for the kids. All the parents got to hang out on the playground for a little while. Then they all come down the hallway. You do the clap out. They walk out. And it was absolutely fantastic. I can't believe that my oldest is going into middle school next year. It's wild. Time goes fast.
Hey, we are a sports show, but I do – let me just – just on that note, as a dad of elementary school kids,
yeah,
I am curious about you and your wife's feelings about everything. You know, it's been a couple of generations of this, so I went through it as a dad of a couple kids in school, and I had my fears about it, and I was just devastated again, and angry about it. And we'll play a little bit of Steve Kerr a little bit later, but I'm just curious, you as a dad and parents, what your feelings are right now.
Oh, it's just it's a devastating 24 hours. It's one of those things. It's everybody's worst nightmare, and unfortunately there's far too many people that have had to actually live that nightmare out. It's unbelievable. So, you know, I just felt heartbroken the entire night. And, you know, the world's a very divisive place. And, you know, everybody has got an opinion on what the right thing to do is. I just put out a little message on Twitter today. It's all about love right now. And that's what the world needs. And so, you know, love on your neighbor, love on your friends, love on your family, love on your kids. And it's I'm very, very grateful to have been able to have a morning with my family and my kids.
No doubt about that. All right. Well said. By the way, as we move on, the Rockies were battling there for a little bit. It was 5-5 in the seventh. They lost 10-5.
What's new?
We are really getting to Rocks lose ... bummer.
Oh, I think we've been there for a little bit, my friend. Yeah. I mean, I officially tapped out. I lasted as long as I ever have for a Rocky season. But we are officially at that point in time where they are who we thought they were, and it is no longer interesting, and it is no longer relevant, and they are just bad at baseball.
For the first time this entire year, I didn't even know what time the game was on at.
Yeah.
I was down at Ball Arena, and we'll talk all about the Avs and the Blues, and Blues did something today. We'll get into that in about 10 minutes, but didn't even realize they were on, Tyler. As somebody, you know, I came into the radio station and like, it's seventh inning. I'm like, oh my God, how they doing? And they did win last night. They won in 10 innings last night. Connor Joe had a big hit. But
it's funny you say you didn't know what time they played. A lot of people came up and talked to me today, and everybody wants to talk sports, which is great. I'm totally fine with it. No problem at all.
Right.
But everybody comes up and wants to talk about sports. And I probably had three or four different parents that all said something similar, like, wow, isn't it great to have the Avalanche right now? Isn't it great how they're doing? They're like, do you guys even talk about the Rockies? when they give us a reason to, we talk about the Rockies for sure. But we're no different than anybody else. We get interested in things that keep us interested. Sadly, the Rockies are back where they are.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Pittsburgh game, and like, there's no fans in the stands. Pittsburgh's terrible too. The Rockies are, you know, it's over. How horrible is that to say? Here we are, May 25th. The Rocky season is over.
Well, you know what? Forget it. Who cares? I mean, seriously, isn't that what we all expected it to be anyways? We got Avalanche. We got cool stuff going on right now. So I'm going to focus my attention on the cool stuff. That's what I want to do.
Oh, me too. No doubt about it. It's just a moment of reflection as they just dump this one 10-5 to Pittsburgh. And I heard my man Mike Evans bring it up. Run scored this year. I'm just double checking. Going into this game, they had 136 runs scored, which would be real quick. Yeah, last in the National League. Hold on a second. Yeah. Oh, nope, sorry. Detroit's worse, so second worst.
Oh,
so
that's
second,
good.
Second worst runs scored in baseball were the Pirates. The Pirates put 10 runs on the Rockies today. So the second worst scoring team in Major League Baseball scored 10 runs against our Rockies today.
So that's not good. That's not good, D-back. No.
Who do you even blame on that?
I mean, honestly, it's beyond the point of blame. I mean, I know where I blame. It starts with ownership. That's where I blame. Dick Monfort. That's exactly where it starts. That's where it ends. And we can come down to the nuances of the game. We can talk about Bud Black. We can talk about decisions that are made. It all comes down to a commitment to the organization, and it's as simple as that. So I blame Dick Monfort. That's who I blame.
Thanks to our listeners in Henderson for making 104.3 the Fan part of your day.
Time now for your Mission 16W update. Bring the cup home to Denver. Here's the latest on tonight's game courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
What Craig Berube had to say. He addressed things before his press conference today. That'll come up in about 8 minutes. Meanwhile, on the ice, it looks like Burakovsky will... At first, it was interesting because he was dressed up like he was going to play today, but he was on the ice after the practice. So, unless something changes, I would expect similar lines to what we had, and Berkey probably sitting this one out. And no McDermott. They're not doing anything like that. Other than that, the Avs are in pretty good shape in terms of health and spirit and all that. And perhaps the news is what the Blues did. Like I said, we'll get into that in just a little bit. Game 5 tonight, they drop the puck at 6 o'clock. We'll be talking plenty of Avs leading up to that. So how are you feeling about this one as we just sort of get going here in terms of Game 5?
I feel fantastic. I feel very, very confident that the Avalanche are going to close this thing out. They're going to send the Blues home, and the Avalanche are not going to have to go back to St. Louis, and neither will you, D-Mac. So I feel good about that. I don't think it's going to be easy. I mean, the Blues are a good hockey team, and it's taken the best that the Avs have had. There's certainly been some moments where it's felt scary, including the last game, by the way. I mean, you got those three quick goals, and then all of a sudden the Blues fought back into it. It's not going to be easy, but I feel confident that the Avalanche are a superior team in just about every single aspect. The Blues struggle so much to just get shots on goal. They are, throughout the regular season, they had, seven guys that had scored 20 goals over the course of the season?
Nine
guys that had scored 20 goals over the course of the season.
Yeah.
But, you know, learned a interesting stat about them. They have always been low on shots on net. So they've always been about quality shots, not the quantity of shots. Right now, it feels like if you can't get the shot off, how the heck are you going to score? They still feel like that, even throughout the series, you could see that. They found a way to sneak into it with low shots on net. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think the Avalanche win relatively easily.
Saw Braden Schenn spoke today, that guy, and a couple guys spoke, and I was like, oh, okay. I recognize this a little bit. I recognize this tone of voice. This is what I heard in Nashville. Uh-huh. Gotcha. And it's not quite 1-2-3 Cancun, but it's we have thrown our best at these guys. We have tried to do this, you know, retribution thing to Kadri. It just none of it's working. So now what do we got?
So that goes one of two directions. Either you fold and it's embarrassing, or you're a dangerous team. And there is definitely, I've been there as a team where everybody counts you out. You've got nothing to lose. Everybody's expecting you to lose. And if you do lose, honestly, nobody's going to be yelling at you because that's what they're expecting. And that has turned several teams I've been on into a very dangerous team when you don't have anything to lose. I've also been on teams where you're at that point and it really is, hey, let's get the flights booked. Let's get the cars shipped. Let's get out of town. And obviously that turns into a fold fest and you'd get blown out.
Well, let's dig into whether the coach is a distraction. What happens when the coach becomes a distraction to a team and all of a sudden the conversation is pointing at that guy? Does he lose whatever motivational prowess he perhaps has? And we had a moment like that today. You'll hear it coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
So the morning skates today over on the Avalanche side, it was, Bush Bednar's very, very tight-lipped, very short game day he is. He always has been, so nothing new there. No huge news necessarily report.
I kind of like the way he does that, by the way, Jared Bednar. I like the way he handles it pre-game, post-game. Pre-game, I'm tight-lipped. I'm not going to give you a whole lot. Post-game, throughout the week, I'll give you a few headlines. Maybe not headlines, but I'll loosen up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, during the season, he would say... after skates, who was going, who wasn't going, line combinations. Actually, he would do that during the regular season. But you got to understand, too, I mean, it's, you're playing whoever on a Tuesday night. It's, it's like three press people in there. It's nothing. Now it's, it's relatively packed for hockey. A lot of attention going towards it, obviously. And they want to keep every competitive advantage they can. So no big deal. After the skate, Burakovsky was wearing... He was in on the second power play unit in a hockey practice. At the end of the practice, at team practice, they always end power plays. And the way the Avs specifically do it, one unit is on one side of the ice, the other unit's on the other. So they do a couple of rounds with the first power play unit, and Bednar turns around Riverside and goes with the second power play unit. Well, Landeskog hasn't been doing any of the morning skates. It's been maintenance.
That's
now,
been his routine.
Well, I think it's become like, not only is it a routine now, I think we got a little superstition going on as well.
Yeah, you don't mess with something that's not broken, D-back.
Correct. So that's what I think is happening there. Taves, maintenance day for him too. Nothing to worry about, but he wasn't out there either. He's a defenseman, so it doesn't really matter. But because there was a forward missing, well, you got a kind of a chain of events. So Burakovsky wasn't even in with the second power play unit the last pregame, last morning skate, rather, in St. Louis. Today he was. So there was a thought that, oh, maybe he is going. But then Newhook came and spoke during the media. So he spoke quickly, which indicates he's playing, as did Jack Johnson. And then Burakovsky was out on the ice afterwards, and it's a little confusing. So I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen. I think more or less it's going to be the same lineup as the last game, I think. But Burakovsky was doing something a little bit different in practice.
Okay.
We'll see. Other than that, in terms of the Avalanche, Tyler, I mean, it's kind of steady as she goes. And Bednar had a great quote today. He goes, we are going to be the storm.
There you go.
In terms of handling the storm, it's like, I am the one that knocks.
I love that. I kind of asked Gabe Landeskog that when he came on our show a week or two ago, something similar in nature. Do you embrace all the talent that you have, or do you try to find the underdog role? And Gabe was kind of like, no, I mean, we know how much talent we've got. We've got expectations. We know exactly who we are. It's not a cocky thing. But there, you know, there's no reason to not embrace it. When you've been as good as they've been all year long, you don't have to adjust. Like we were talking about adjustments, whether Jared Bednar should make adjustments for a couple games back against the Blues. And I said, you know what, let's give it one more game. See how it goes. You need your superstars to show up. And, you know, at that point, if it doesn't work, okay, you can make adjustments. But they're the ones that need to answer to you. It's not the other way around.
Correct. I am the danger.
I love that.
I am the one who knocks.
Wait, is that what is that?
Breaking Bad.
That's Breaking Bad. Okay.
Come on.
I knew it. I've definitely seen all of Breaking Bad. Woo! I've seen every single episode. It's been a while, though.
Yeah. All right. But anyways, over at the St. Louis side, they had to address it at some point. The whole no comment thing. I mean, that did not go over by any stretch of the imagination. So, instead of doing what was the most common sense thing, and I don't know who was advising Craig Berube over there with St. Louis, but they got to check themselves. They realized we got to say something. And so Berube just stepped right up, Tyler, without taking any questions, and did this.
Just before any questions, I just want to comment on my no comment the other day. I'm not on social media. I was aware of a threat made to Nazem, not the racist stuff. And no way is it acceptable by the St. Louis Blues or anybody else for him to have to go through that. Being a Native American myself, I've heard it all. I've been around it. It's not a good thing. And so I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, there's no room for it anywhere.
Well, that's pretty weak. I mean, that was insanely weak. First off, first off, I don't believe you that you didn't know what was going on. Second off, you acknowledge that you are aware of a threat. Okay, you didn't think that was worthy of a comment,
but
you
not
think
the racist
that
stuff.
Was worth of a conversation.
Yeah, death
threat. What was the threat? Like, it's cool. Like, you could threaten to kill somebody, but you know, there's a line, right? And we, as long as you're just talking about death threats, I'm not going to make a comment.
Right.
Just a pathetic response. He did not elaborate. He did not sound like he had compassion there. That was a pathetic response all the way. Just from beginning to end.
Take a note, too, of the throat clears. The throat clears are such a clear, like, verbal tick that you're struggling with what you're saying, or you're maybe fibbing about what you're saying. Josh McDaniels used to do throat clear after throat clear with stuff, and it's just like, we get it, coach. You know, you're not comfortable here. One more time.
Just before any questions, I just want to comment on my no comment the other day. I'm not on social media. I was aware of a threat made to Nazem, not the racist stuff. And no way is it acceptable by the St. Louis Blues or anybody else for him to have to go through that. Being a Native American myself, I've heard it all. I've been around it. It's not a good thing. And so I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, there's no room for it anywhere.
All right. Well, he's not the most eloquent guy in the world.
No.
And he clearly, you are the face of the organization. You blew it. The St. Louis PR department blew it. Everybody blew it.
Yeah.
And you had to address it somehow today. And they did it right off the bat, too. And that's to the degree that things were going poorly, Tyler, that they must have had some meetings. They're like,
oh, of course they did.
Coach, you just got to say something right off the bat.
Well, you asked me yesterday whether I thought they would make a statement at all today. And I said, yes, I do think they will. I think it'll be the very first thing they do, because you've got people in that organization that is their full-time job. You know, Berube, he is a coach. So coaches are not always the most eloquent guys. Usually they've got common decency and they know when it's appropriate to comment on something when it's not. But there's people in that building that's their full-time job. And if they don't acknowledge it after all this, they should have acknowledged it right out the bat, and the PR department should have been doing their job right out the gates. But at this point in time, if that's the best that they had, I would say there's a lot of people failing in that building.
I tell you what, think about how remarkable that is. Okay, he doesn't follow social media. Fine. I get it. You're an older guy. You don't want to follow social media. It's a distraction. No problem. That story came out St. Louis time roughly 6 o'clock or so. Like, it kind of, the Avs made their statement and it kind of blew up. 6 p.m. Their morning skate was the next day at 10:30. You mean to tell me nobody in the entire organization, no coaches, no players, no media people, no GM, nobody connected with the team whatsoever made sure the coach was aware of what was going on?
Yeah, that's why I said I don't believe it.
It's insane.
I don't believe it. It's a pathetic excuse. You shouldn't have acknowledged that you knew anything. I mean, if you're going to act like you you didn't know anything, then don't know anything.
Right.
But then he says, I was aware of a threat, so somebody communicated something with you. You don't have social media. I doubt those people they were communicating with you, they left out all the other stuff.
Yeah, because listen, let's keep it real. You're the one after game 3 that talked about Kadri's reputation. You didn't want to talk about it the next day. You had players on your team talking about you could have done something different. Players know that they could do something different. I mean, okay, maybe you're building up the competitive atmosphere,
yeah,
and things,
I've got compassion for that aspect.
But hold on. At the point that there are now death threats, whether you know they're racist or not, That is a clear indicator that whatever's been going on needs to be tamped down a little bit. Whatever the rhetoric has been, we need to chill out a tad. I mean, they could have put out a statement on Sunday night, Tyler. They easily could have put that out.
Sure.
For their media department. They
didn't have to wait for him to be live in front of microphones.
No.
In hindsight, that probably would have been the best thing to do. Knowing that coach, that probably would have been the best thing to do. Just put out a statement that is properly worded.
The Blues travel with a media department just like the Avalanche have, just like the Broncos have, just like all the teams have.
Yeah.
You don't even have to go out to the regular media to put out a statement on Sunday night condemning that sort of thing. Talk about just not being aware of the world around them. Congratulations, St. Louis Blues. You win the trophy. I mean, at least you did something today. I guess it could have got worse if you said absolutely positively nothing today. And then we get into the whole, like, are you done with the Kadri stuff? Is all the foolishness over with, or is there something? Well, I think that's all gone too, Tyler.
Oh, I think it's done. They tried to use that as the bulletin board material that they needed as an organization to find some sort of inspiration for success. That didn't work. So it didn't work, and it's gotten worse off the ice. I'd be shocked if anything continued tonight.
So you got a coach who was a distraction. Your rallying cry over the big enemy, Kadri, certainly clearly didn't work. And you're down 3-1 to what might be the best team on earth. Oh, and you're on the road.
Good luck.
I'm just saying, Ballerina, have a good time tonight, because I think your Avalanche are going to wipe the ice with the Blues. The Zoakley Show was talking about the Russell Wilson cheese. Fun conversation. We'll dig into that coming up. Gouda, next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
KJ, that's funny.
What?
I'm officially laughing.
Many colors, but not always yellow.
We were talking before the show about Russell Wilson and cheese.
I said,
I don't know if there's any songs about cheese. And,
he found one.
KJ, what is this?
Cheese and cheddar, mozzarella.
This is called the cheese song. You can just go look it up on YouTube. It has over 1 million views. So obviously other people know about it.
1 million views. Wow. Doesn't take a whole lot of talent to get 1 million views, huh?
Nope.
Just does. Well, thank you, KJ, for finding the song about cheese. The story is, I don't know if it's even much of a story. It's just, you know, it's Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson talks and, you know, he says a lot of cheesy stuff.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And then we had our guys, the Zoakley Show. Stokely hates it, clearly. And Zach thinks it's kind of awesome. But then our names got drug through the mud.
Oh, really?
In terms of linking up with Stokely.
Okay, so Stokely had our back.
Kind of.
I missed it, so I'm not entirely sure what happened here. Are we getting blamed for something?
No, we're just getting thrown into the cynical, we don't like Russell Wilson, which is not true, of course.
Of course not.
But what Stokely was just saying is that when it comes to how everything is awesome and how everything is great, this, that, the other thing, there's only kind of so much you can take before you just, you know, really kind of just roll your eyes at it.
You know, I agree with that. But my whole point with Russell Wilson is that he's a successful Tim Tebow. So as long as you back it up, I'm cool with any leadership style. If you want to ride me, ride me. You want to dog-cuss me, dog-cuss me. As long as we're winning, I will be happy. I will be content. If you want to be a cheese ball, if you want to be full of inspirational quotes, if you want to have a bumper sticker mentality, it's cool as long as you're winning. But it does become a little bit too much the second you're no longer winning.
I mean, we can go back to his Mother's Day message.
Happy Mother's Day to the prettiest girl in the world. The sweetest thing.
Oh, stop.
Most precious. Most loving.
Oh, no.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
How many seconds did we make it into that? Did we make it about a solid 5 seconds?
I got more of it. I got like a minute of it. I mean, how much do you want?
Take me about 30 seconds in. Just go about 30 seconds in. Let's see what we hear.
Oh, my God. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. All right.
Happy Mother's Day to the prettiest girl.
30 seconds?
No. I want you to fast forward. I want to see the difference. Just start at 30 seconds.
That third baby.
See, when you always got to go.
You're
such a good mom.
You've
been going too far.
You'd be like, you mean like you amazing. So like,
I cannot take it.
I mean, it's like
I can't do it.
It's like he's talking to a little kid. You know, like, oh honey, I'm so proud of you. What a great game you had today. It was just.
Now, the audio they were playing, and KJ, tell me if you got it, was just talking about how many touchdowns they were throwing during the fight. I mean, you can just find anything from Wilson on Monday. It doesn't even matter. How was practice today?
Oh, yeah.
How was
Again, I mean, you could just scan about 30 seconds in. You'll find it.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
You'll have a slogan about 30 seconds
play,
in.
Play anything, KJ.
Well, I think everybody's just doing such an amazing job of studying. Everybody's on their stuff. Everybody's committed. I mean, there's guys that come in super early to work with me in the mornings. And we all kind of, you know, do our own thing as players.
pause,
just spend a lot of time.
I'm picturing, you know, it's we're in the middle of the fourth quarter. We got like 6 minutes to go. We're down by seven. Fellas, this is the opportunity, Garrett. You're doing a great job out there, Garrett. Just keep on holding on for dear life out there. And, you know, we're going to get this touchdown. We're going to get this.
Okay. Garrett would be fine with that. Garrett's going to be, you know, I think Garrett would love the cheese. I think Garrett's...
Oh, yeah, he loves the cheese.
I think Garrett's...
Look, I mean, I'm going to keep it real. I was an offensive lineman, so I could say this. You can't become that big without liking the cheese, D-Mac.
No. Get in the
zone. GB zone.
He likes the cheese.
Yeah, you got to like the cheese a little bit.
You know, everything's pretty on, and the grass is green, and the cows are chirping, and, you know, moving, and chickens, whatever. I didn't grow up like that.
Right. See, those two are two peas in a pod. They're going to get along fantastic.
That's officially funnier now than it actually was before.
Oh, he's giving us some good ones.
I'll give you.
So what's the story? Zach's buying it. He loves all of it. It's not about it. It's like I want to be very clear here. It's not a matter of buying in. Everybody buys into Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson, it doesn't matter what his leadership style is. He could come in. He could be the biggest jerk in the entire world. Guess what? Guys will buy in because he's Russell Wilson. You can come in and you can be the biggest cheese ball in the world. And guess what? Guys will buy in because you're Russell Wilson. So it's not a matter of buying in. We're just keeping it real. And, you know, if you're in the locker room for a year or so after, that might become a little bit much.
Here's the rest of it.
You know, do our own thing as players and just spend a lot of time. I think it's got to be a player-owned thing, and that's what we're doing. I mean, it's just tremendous to see guys like Jerry Jeudy and, you know, obviously Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick. Those guys are so brilliant, but also Beck and Sabi and just
Sabi.
There's so many other guys. And then the young guys, Dolchich and Montrell and Dub, those guys have been coming in early as well. So it's just, I think the dedication, and obviously I think you guys saw a lot of good stuff out here today, a lot of touchdowns and a lot of good things. The defense looks tremendous too. We have a really good football team, and that's exciting, and we're really excited about the opportunity to play football.
I'm excited about that. Hey, hold on for dear life. Here we go. Let's ride.
Hey, Red, it's Russell Wilson.
Regulators. Now,
Sabi, what's happening, Sabi?
Everything starts with the pocket, to be able to have control, to be able to control the game through the pocket, but also outside of the pocket too. You got to be able to dominate both. And I think that the guys that we have, the weaponry that we have, the up offensive line up front, these guys have been
fucking
butts off. And so it's been a lot of fun. And,
you know what it feels like?
A really good system. We got some good stuff, amazing stuff that we're doing. Guys are getting open. They're making plays. Guys are making plays all over today. Just touchdowns after touchdowns.
Touchdown after touchdown.
And you know what it feels like?
Good plays too. I mean, it was just such
feels
a
exciting.
Competitive practice. Such a felt like a championship type week.
When we look back, when we win the Super Bowl this year, you look back to this moment. This is where it all began.
That's what we're doing. It's just tremendous to see guys like Jerry Jeudy.
Doesn't it feel good?
Obviously, quarterback.
It does. It feels good to not be making fun of our quarterback's performance. It feels good to not be worried about if we've got a quarterback or not. Mm-hmm. It feels good that we get to be making fun of a quarterback because he's a little bit of a cheese ball and we're not worried about whether he's going to be good or not. It feels good. We can all be fired up about this. We can all unite on it feeling good, right?
Absolutely. If we're just a bunch of cynical jerks around here, it's just part of the territory. Have fun with it.
I mean, it's like I tell the kids that I coach, you know, the day that I stop coaching you, that's when you have to be worried. So don't be worried when I'm being hard on you. Don't be worried when I'm yelling at you. Be worried when I don't coach you. Be worried when I'm not making fun of you, right?
Be worried when I'm not making fun of you.
That's when you know that I don't love you. When I'm not making fun of you, that's when you know I don't love you.
All right.
Because you only make fun of the people that you love.
All right, you turds, get out there and do your best.
Let's go. Mount up. I just want him to say mount up. Like if he said instead of let's ride.
You're selling let's ride.
No, I mean instead of let's ride, if he said mount up, wouldn't that sound better? That would sound like.
Dude, do you know how many t-shirts have already been printed saying let's ride?
I know, I'm just thinking, I mean if I was in the locker room, what would sound better? Let's ride or mount up?
It would be funny if somebody else tried to sell mount up instead of let's ride. Mm. Like every time he would say let's ride to the team, some wise guy in the team would go, yeah, mount up.
Well, you know what? I think I'm just going to turn that into mount up. From here on out, I'm going to say mount up.
Well, you are Mount Columbus.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Mount up!
You want to try that again?
Yeah, my bad. All right. A little
Broncos
bit slow.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Mount up!
Well, you start to find your own mount up t-shirts.
I think I will.
Hats and, you know.
Do you think I could start my own clothing line?
Columbus.
Can I get a logo?
Sure, why not?
Huh?
Sure.
Can I wear it to team issued events? Like when I'm out on the field, can I wear my own mount up?
Why couldn't you?
Well, because usually you're supposed to wear the Broncos stuff. That's what you're usually supposed to do.
By the way, you know what? We have a really interesting breaking NFL story. Really interesting one, and it's the question is it for real or is it just a PR stunt? We'll give you what that story is coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Here's the drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Dude, you're getting some flow on the mount up thing, man.
I love it. People are feeling it. People like it. It's a little bit more manly.
Pedal with Palumbus.
Mount up.
Sorry, Tyler. Mount up is taken by Warren G.
Well, I didn't claim to invent it. No, I literally said regulators mount up.
We were the Mustangs in college, and that was our slogan, mount up.
There you go.
There's the t-shirt right there.
People are feeling it. People like the mount up.
Mount up.
Raj, here we go.
Got a new t-shirt for you, Raj. Or mount up, let's ride.
No, that's just repetitive.
That's so funny, though. The concept that your quarterback comes up with his own catchphrase And every time he says it, you try to go over the top with your own catchphrase on him. So everybody mount up. Or everybody let's try.
Mount up! That's like getting Colin, the team involved, right?
It's like call and respond. Actually,
It's collaborative. It's like team on three, one, two, three, team.
Right.
But you don't have to do all that. You just say, let's ride.
Mount up! Little call and response.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not bad.
It feels good, right?
It's kind of.
Yeah.
Let's ride.
That doesn't feel cheese ball. That feels inspirational.
How about this? From now on, every time we hear Russell Wilson say, let's ride.
Mount up!
We'll respond with mount up.
Uh-huh. That's a thing now.
That's just like now.
It becomes a thing.
Now it's a thing.
Yep.
Can't you see it? Right there in Empower Field with Alan Roach. Or is it Connor? It's Connor McGahee, actually. It's Connor McGahee. Yeah. My guy. I love Connor. And he goes, Broncos fans. He's got this big voice. Broncos fans, let's ride. And the whole crowd,
mount up. I mean, I'm just picturing you're on the sideline. Defense gets a big stop. Maybe they get an INT. You're getting the guys together as you're hustling out on the field. Let's ride.
Mount up. That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, see if we can get that going. T-shirts.
Oh, it's a thing now. I mean, there's definitely, so these are going to sell.
Is this T-shirt, let's ride, ...
Mount up. Mm-hmm. I mean, Russ, if you need any PR advisement, if you need anybody to help you sell more clothing items, maybe a whole new line. You got the swimwear. It's not just casual. It's the luxury swimwear that you could wear to the club right after you go to the pool. They've got the cologne. They've got, what else they got? She's got a sweatpants, it's like a designer sweatpants line.
Yeah.
This is a Broncos country type of thing.
See, people, we got it. How about sack up? No, we got it. Mount up.
I seriously can't believe that people
did not
hear me say regulators. A lot of people hung up on the warrant. Yeah, I get it.
All right, let's ride. Mount up. I just like how we get things done.
I know.
Get things done.
Like, oh, somebody says that Warren G stole that from Charlie Sheen. Is that true? Where did Charlie Sheen say that?
Listen, news flash. Everything's stolen from somebody else.
I mean, maybe Emilio Estevez. I could see Emilio saying that. Did he say that in Young Guns?
I only know the Mighty Ducks Emilio Estevez quotes.
They're related, aren't they?
They're brothers.
Yeah, but they've got different last names.
Charlie Sheen. Yeah, that is weird because
said it like it was so obvious.
No, it's not because Martin Sheen, you know, the president of the United States, his real last name is Martin Estevez. So Emilio just hung on to his real name. Charlie Sheen took the stage name of his dad for his last name.
Right, and I was like, Emilio.
The breaking news,
somebody's laughing in their car about that.
Somebody
is laughing in their car.
I gave it a pause. I gave it a breath for people to laugh.
I promise you somebody laughed.
That's why I stopped talking, to allow the raucous laughter.
Yeah. I mean, do you know the movie?
You've told me this before, so I know it's from something, but I forget what it's
I'm going to give you a clue. It's a nonverbal clue, so it's not going to help anybody else out there, but I mean, just watch me.
Oh, from What is Love?
Now you're onto it.
You're
onto it.
Night of the Rocks.
There you go. Nailed it.
The breaking news coming out today is that Colin Kaepernick's going to get a tryout with the Raiders.
I saw that.
Is that the real deal, or is that made up stuff?
Well, I guess the skeptical part of me feels like anytime. I mean, at this point, what's it been, like 6 years? I mean, it's been a long time. At this point,
I think you were right. I think it is 6 years.
Okay.
Actually.
The skeptical side of me is like it feels like an organization at this point is probably using that, right? Using that as a moment to try to look good. I hope for Colin Kaepernick it's genuine. It feels a little bit dubious to me, though, D-Mac. It's been a long time.
I'm looking at our guy Schefter's report.
How did I do on dubious?
Good. I knew what it meant.
Yeah? Did I use it appropriately?
You did. Colin Kaepernick last played 2016. There you go, 6 years. All the kneeling stuff. It'll mark Kaepernick's first workout
with an NFL team since being exiled. It'll be the first time the former team visits star quarterback visits with the team since he flew to Seattle to meet with the Seahawks in May of 2017.
Yeah.
So he didn't try out for them, but he met with them.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll was talking about him this offseason. He was acting like he wanted to give him a shot, but he never did.
I don't even know who the backup is there in with the Raiders. Who's the backup?
Well, it was Marcus Mariota. So I don't know at this exact moment. Who is the backup?
Good question.
Marcus is gone. He's
where
out
is
in Atlanta.
Marcus?
Atlanta.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He probably starts this year.
Well, they got Matt Ryan winning Super Bowls there in Indy. According to you.
I never said Super Bowl, for the record. Don't misquote me. I said championship game.
Sorry. Nick Mullins? So all you got to be is better than Nick Mullins. That's what you got to do to win that job there.
They also traded for Jarrett Stidham, remember?
Oh, that's right. So you got to be better than Stidham. You got to be better than Nick Mullins.
Stidham is listed as third on the depth chart, but he's got to be the real number two.
Gee, let me.
You don't trade for a guy that you know that you coached last year unless you plan on him being the backup.
So let me just. I know it was 6 years ago, but a guy who took his team to a Super Bowl now has to be better than Nick Mullins and fifth round pick cast off by the Patriots.
Okay. You make that sound awfully easy. It's not as simple as that. D-Mac, a lot can change in 6 years. I played a way different position, and athletes and quarterbacks are certainly different. I couldn't dream about going back 2 years later.
Let me just check something real quick. Can we agree, though, certainly with the way the world has been in time, that all the other things that may have gone into not allowing Colin Kaepernick to have a chance or all the distractions, can we agree that that is gone at this point?
Are you saying in terms of it's no longer relevant as to why he's not in the league? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, all that stuff. It was 100 years ago. Things have changed significantly. The whole Kaepernick is this, Kaepernick is that, he's too much of a distraction, all that sort of stuff. I think that's all gone. I think that is gone, gone, gone. I don't think people would care about that stuff whatsoever. I don't think it'd be a distraction whatsoever.
I agree with that. I don't think that it no longer has that sort of gravitas. It's not that type of weight that you would carry by having the name on your roster.
Also, Kaepernick.
I think it seriously comes down to it's been 6 years.
But Kaepernick has been more than clear, and certainly at this level, what he's doing now, he's fine being a backup. That's okay. You know, whereas that might not have been the thought right off the bat. He only has to compete to be a backup. I mean, the Broncos' backup is Josh Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Josh Johnson, he took 2 or 3 years off multiple times over his 18-year career.
I don't even know how old is Kaepernick. I don't even know.
Don't know.
Anyways, we'll see how it works out. But Kaepernick to see what's what with the Raiders. 34. Same age as Russell Wilson.
I mean, we're sitting here talking about Russell Wilson like he could play another 8 to 10 years.
Right, what are we talking about? He is the same. Well, he's the same. Was he the same draft as Russell Wilson? He came out the year after. I don't know. He's the same age as Russell Wilson.
Right.
We'll see what happens. But I think, listen, if he's good enough, in my opinion, if he's good enough and he's better than your best backup, sign him. Sign him. I mean, that's all it comes down to. The rest of it is garbage. The rest of it is really, at this point, to me, it's like any player, he can't play. And you know what, Tyler? If he can't play, then he can't play. If too much time has gone on and he's not the best option, then don't sign him.
Yeah.
Let him exist on his own football merits.
Yeah, I mean, you always want football to be a meritocracy. You always want it to just be the best guys get the job. It's not always as simple as that, but you would like it to be.
Yeah. All right. The big story of the day, we've got game 5 for the Avalanche against the Blues. The Blues, Craig Berube, you'll hear it, addressed, not saying anything about the Kadri situation. All the latest and greatest coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.